Let's just start right in with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
He was arrested,
and I'm going to read it. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it'll be up here for you who are new. The goal is to get you to bring your Bible and be able to actually find the books in the Bible and that kind of thing. Because parents, you need to do that before you train your kids to do that, right?
So, okay. And then after supper, he took the
cup. In him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. It's a present condition, meaning that we are continually having redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or dismissal or release or pardon of sins. Now listen to this, according to the riches of his grace. Have you noticed that when we got into Ephesians over and over, he's talking about the riches of his grace, by his grace. It's always about grace, and I'm praying day by day that we will come to the fact that we are a Christian by grace, not by works. Now, when I say that, you go, I don't believe in works for salvation. Sometimes you do, and you just don't know it, because it's built in us to want to make sure we live right and we do everything right for God. And then the problem is that becomes a circular thing because you can never quite get there, can you? I was just reading this morning before I came in 1 year Bible again, and he was talking about how if Israel came to the place that they recognized and admitted their iniquity, that God would do good. And that's what he's after with us. He wants us to understand that, yes, we need him. Okay, so that's why he says, according to the riches of his grace, because there's nothing you can really do about it except to put your faith and trust in him. Now, what does redemption mean? Well, redemption denotes release or deliverance from a state of slavery, a payment for the release of something. Jesus paid the price for you and for me on the cross, shedding his innocent blood, which delivers you and me by his grace. Are you getting it yet? By his grace. So I want to talk about the redemption this morning. In the book of Leviticus, that will make sense in a little bit, if a man was unable, if he was in slavery and he was unable to redeem himself, meaning to buy himself back out of slavery, then a nearest relative could do that. They could go in and pay the price of slavery and free him from that slavery. And that would be called redemption. And the Bible uses, when it says the nearest relative, they use the word kin. When you're signing out an application, about the only time we use it in English is next of kin. Have you heard that before? The next of kin. And so the Bible uses kin, and I want to stick with that word because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became our kinsman. That's the biblical word for our relative, okay? Our kinsman, our closest relative through the adoption that we read in verse 5. Remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about the adoption, the legal adoption that Christ has for us, the moment we trust in him, we become part of his family. And then he becomes our kinsman. All right? Redeeming you and I from Satan and sin. So there is a book of the Old Testament named Ruth, for you who haven't read much of the Old Testament, and it's really appropriate here. Let me just tell the story, and I'm going to be reading some scriptures so you can understand it. There was a man named Elimelech, who lived in Bethlehem, and he was about three generations before King David. And so he took his family and traveled to the land of Moab with his wife, Naomi, and two sons because of a famine in Israel. Now, Elimelech ends up dying in Moab before the famine is done, and Naomi still has two sons, and they both marry a Moabite woman, which the Moabites were kind of enemies of Israel. And one is named Orpah, okay, and the other Ruth. Now, Orpah almost sounds like Oprah, doesn't it? Now, the reason Oprah has the name is because their parents misspelled Orpah. That's what she said. And so she went ahead and used Oprah, but it was Orpah. And then we have the other wife, who is Ruth, which the whole book centers around. And so after about 10 years, both of the husbands die, and the three women are left. And at that point, Naomi thinks, what in the heck am I doing here? I'm just kind of paraphrasing a little bit. What in the heck am I doing here? I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, to Israel. So she tells the daughter-in-laws to return to their parents and remarry or whatever, because she's going back alone. But here's what Ruth tells Naomi in 1:16. But Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't ask me to leave you or turn back. I will go wherever you go and live wherever you live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. I will die where you die and I will be buried there. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." So when Naomi saw that Ruth had made her mind up to go with her, she stopped urging her. Man, that's a real testimony, isn't it? Ruth is going to leave her parents. She's going to go to Israel and take care of Naomi throughout Naomi's life and die there and never see her parents again and her friends in Moab. So they make this long journey back to Bethlehem on foot, basically, and when they arrive, it's time of the harvest. And one of the provisions in the Old Testament law was that during the harvest, poor people could glean, G-L-E-A-N, what means that you pick up over the leftover grain. And you know how that is. A lot of times when somebody goes in and harvests the corn and you walk the field, you can see little kernels of corn there. And so we're too rich. We don't go pick up those kernels of corn. But in those days, they were so poor, they went in and picked up the grain as it was harvested. If it fell off a wagon, it was there. So the people doing the harvesting had to be careful. As the law said, if it falls off the wagon, they get it. If they cut down the grain and it's laying on the ground and they don't pick it up, then that becomes the poor and so on. So Naomi asks Ruth to go and find a field and glean it. And so that they can eat. And she arrives at a field that belongs to a man named Boaz. And Boaz had just returned from a trip, and he comes to the scene, and he goes, "Bless you," to his workers, a really kind man. "Bless you," and they say, "Bless you back." And he looks around, and he sees Naomi. And so says, then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that girl over there?" And the foreman replied, "She is that young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi." And then he proceeded to tell her that she was an excellent worker and she worked hard. And there's only one time during the day she even sat down for about 5 minutes to rest and then got back and did it again. And so we get to the next verse, verse 8, and it says, "And Boaz went over and said to Ruth, 'Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us. When you gather grain, don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the women working in the field.' Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. 'Why are you being so kind to me?' she asked. 'I am only a foreigner.' 'Yes, I know,' Boaz replied, 'but I also know about the love and kindness you have shown your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge, reward you fully.'" Wow, what a statement, huh? That's amazing. And so Ruth had already earned a reputation of taking care of Naomi, of being a virtuous woman and a great daughter, a loving daughter-in-law, and a hard worker, loyal, enough to impress Boaz. So we get to verse 14. It says, "At lunchtime, Boaz called her, 'Come over here and help her, help yourself to some of the food. You can dip your bread in the wine if you like.' So she sat with his harvesters, and Boaz gave her food, more than she could eat." And of course, we know she wrapped it up. If you know the story, she wrapped it up and would take it home to Naomi. Now, you know, I want to stop here and just say this, that there's something going on with Boaz that for the moment we don't get, but we're going to figure out in the next set of verses, that Naomi doesn't get. And she's thinking, why is he being so nice to me? And so Ruth doesn't get it. But in the end of the day, Ruth heads home. And she walks in the door, and her mother-in-law says to her, "Where did you glean and where did you work?" And of course, she says, "The man's name was Boaz." And Naomi says, "That man is our relative." And we have to ask the question, well, is that important? Why would Naomi be like, "That man, he's our relative"? Well, it's very important because of the principle in the law that we call the kinsman redeemer. And we read a little bit of it, and there's some more. And that is that when a woman was widowed, it was the responsibility of the nearest unmarried man in the family to take her as a bride and not leave her destitute rather than finding a whole different woman. So Naomi said to her, Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" Or in other words, I'm going to work this deal out. And I, as I looked at it, I thought, well, now, Boaz is one of the nearest relatives. There's one we're going to find out that's closer than him. So Boaz was either an uncle or a brother to Elimelech. We don't know because the scripture doesn't tell us. But since Boaz is a generation older than Ruth, it was custom that he could not ask her to marry him. And so in verse 3, Naomi says this, "Wash yourself, put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking and his meal is over. When he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go and uncover his feet and lie down." Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? But that was actually a custom, which meant that she would go right to the bottom of his feet, take the blanket, and then lay up against his feet. And that was a custom that she wanted to be a part of his life. And so it was no breach of virtue. It was the way that they did it if a woman was to marry someone that was much older. And that was their custom. So we get to 3:8 and it says, "Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, 'Who are you?'" It's dark out, okay. "So she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative.'" In other words, in the Hebrew, it's actually, "Put your blanket over me, for you are a close relative." Now, it really was symbolic for Boaz. "Marry me. Marry me and take care of me and take care of Naomi." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." And so we see the integrity of Boaz and the integrity of Ruth. Sorry. And we get to verse 11, and it says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Isn't that interesting? Now, I want you to stop and think about this. When I don't know how much time elapsed from the time she came to Bethlehem, but on her first day out, she meets Boaz, she gleans the field, makes this proposal, and then she goes home. And already in Bethlehem, people know that Ruth is a virtuous woman. So I'm going to just add a few verses together to make sense here. "It's true," he said, "I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I am. Remain this night when the morning comes. If he will redeem you, good." There's our word, redeemed, redemption. Now, I don't know if this other person was his older brother. We just don't have enough information, but we know it had to be real close. And so he not only wants to marry her, he is going to purchase and redeem her and Naomi out of their problems. He's going to take the property that Naomi's husband had and buy it back. That's what redemption meant in Israel. And we need that when we come to Christ, don't we? We need him to buy back the property that we've lost. in the kingdom of God. We need to be purchased out of our problems. And so Boaz says, if he doesn't want to redeem you, I'll redeem you. Just go to sleep until morning. And so they go to sleep. And you know, the act of redemption is an interesting thing. It's not only buying out of slavery, it's taking responsibility. And you know, as his word gets richer and richer, doesn't it get rich with Christ? It's amazing that first of all, he buys us back, and then he takes responsibility for us. We become like his own personal possession, just as Ruth will become the personal possession of Boaz. So she slept there until morning, and as she was leaving, it was real dark, and she got up, and Boaz woke up, and he said, get your shawl before you put it on. And so she got her shawl and laid it down, and he poured 75 pounds of barley in the shawl. That's what it says. It says six measures, and so that's somewhere between 60 and 75 pounds. And so she wraps it up, puts it over her shoulder, walks down into the city to Naomi's house carrying the grain. And her mother goes, well, how'd it go? In modern language. And I'm sure, it doesn't say, but I'm sure Naomi said, man, I think it went pretty great. And so she told Naomi all that happened. And we get to verse 4, or chapter 4, where now Boaz is going to go into town, and he gathers his relatives, and he gathers the elders of the city in the town square. And after much discussion and talking back and forth, the other person that's a closer relative says, redeem for yourself, for you may have the right of redemption, for I cannot redeem. I don't know if he was married. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he couldn't redeem, and so he tells Boaz, go for it. And so Boaz removes his sandal, takes it off, and gives them to the other relative, which was a sign of contract before all the elders and the witnesses, saying, this is a final contract. And he says, you are witness today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech. Thus he purchased the land that belonged to Elimelech. He provided resource for Naomi for the rest of her life. And then he took the widow Ruth in as wife. And so it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, I think these were the midwives and friends, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer. May his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life, a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And so Naomi took up the child, it says in the scripture, and put the child in her lap, and she became the nurse of this baby while Naomi did her work and that kind of thing. And the neighboring women all named this son Obed. Now, do you know who Obed is? It doesn't mean, oh, I'd love to be in bed. Okay, just wanted to see if you're there. Okay. Obed was the father of Jesse. Now, who's Jesse? The father of King David. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that this Moabite woman had a baby? And so it's really half Jew, half Gentile. And yet at the same time, it was the lineage of Jesus Christ. It was the lineage of King David. And you know what's really kind of neat about this story is you've got a foreigner who comes to Israel, marries in and is redeemed and has a child and is rich at that point. And if there isn't a better visual picture of you in that, I don't know what it is. Because God comes and takes you and I as foreigners from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we enter the kingdom of God, and he makes us holy, and he makes us blameless, and he adopts us, and he says we are highly favored. We are acceptable. And then he says we're redeemed and our sins are forgiven. Now, what part of that is ours? Well, a little prayer, a little I do to God. Boaz became the picture of Jesus Christ, our kinsman. Remember, that means relative, right? Our kinsman redeemer. And you'll see that in books where it'll talk about Jesus Christ being the kinsman redeemer. That's what it means. And that Lord Jesus Christ bought you and I by himself out of the curse of sin, out of destruction, and he's blessed us for all generations. You know, if the worship team would come back and we're going to have the Lord's Supper today, if you're brand new, you can participate with us. We don't have any rules here. If you love Jesus Christ, we're gonna eat the bread and drink a cup of his juice and really celebrate Jesus' life. But I wanna bring this down into the kinsman redeemer, all the way down into the world that we know with Jesus Christ, and that's in Luke 2, verse 38. There was a group of people in Israel who were dedicated and waiting for what they called the redemption. And the redemption was going to be, they didn't know it was going to be Jesus Christ. And Anna, the prophetess, who was at the temple all the time praying and she just spent years, she was 80-something years old at this point. And she walks in and she sees Jesus and he's 8 days old. Old, and she knows he's the kinsman redeemer. 8 days old. And Simeon the priest lifts him up. He does the brisk, the circumcision, and he lifts him up, and he said, he is a light unto the Gentiles, and he's a blessing to our people Israel. And Simeon said, Lord, please keep me alive till I can see the redeemer. And God did, and brought him in, and he did the circumcision. And Luke says about Anna, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption in Israel, in Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, he brought eternal redemption to those who sought to know the true God. Our God has redeemed us. There's no question, if you believe the Bible, you've been redeemed. You've been bought back. And so we get to our final verse, and then we're going to do a worship song together. It says, in him, meaning Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Is that making sense now? Whew. The kinsman redeemer, the kinsman relative, he redeemed us. Let's worship together.